You're on.
Okay. I hope that we will finish most of the basic things of the Shvi'it, or the sabbatical year, today, except that when I was here last time, I did not have the calendar, which tells you when something has sanctity of Shvi'it, right? I have to be careful. The sanctity of the seventh year. And it tells you which, when the vegetables that are called aftergrowth or svichin become prohibited. All of that I didn't have in the first shiur. I got it last week. I received the complete calendar of vegetables that I never heard of by name, and fruits, and they will be presented at the Shiur on Trumo to Maestro that I'll give, I think, in another month. I'll spend 10 minutes, which we'll go through, so everybody will put that on their refrigerator. And in the old days, they used to say in Chicago, bananas have the climate of the tropical equator, so you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. It's not true, but this you'll put on your refrigerator, and it certainly will help you with Shvi'it. Now, let's see. Today, we're going to speak about Otsar Bet Din, primarily go through the entire thing, and also gardening. The major topics will be gardening. Everybody has a nice little garden here, and I will try to answer all of your questions. The approach in gardening will be the approach of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, together with the Chazon Ish, who are the most meikel, the most lenient in terms of gardens. And in a lot of these things. In fact, I think I opened the last shiur by saying that Rav Kook is the machmir. He is the most strict person in Shvi'it, and the Chazon Ish is the most mekel. Because the Chazon Ish said, we don't want to use the Heter Mechira, but we've got to find all of the opinions that will permit us to do things. So all of the things that I'm going to say about gardening, some of you will say, well, I heard that you can't do that, are based on the psak of the Chazon, on the codification of the Chazon Ish, and also of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now, we remember that there are the following thing vocabulary that we have to know. Fruits, vegetables, and we'll get to flowers, and certain flowers have what we call Kedushat Shvi'it, the sanctity of Shvi'it. I will define exactly in flowers a little bit later what that is, but Kedushat Shvi'it must be treated in a very special way. I cannot take a lemon which has Kedushat Shvi'it. Now, lemons will not have Kedushat Shvi'it, for a long, long time, because all of the lemons that you will be getting this coming winter have already, all of the lemons that you will be getting this coming winter will have, the fruit will have been, will have formed on the tree, on the citrus tree, before the beginning of the year of Shemitah. So let's take lemons, for example, and we'll find them. Okay, here we are. Lemon. Lemon will first have Kedushat Shvi'it on the first of Iyar after Pesach next year. In other words, all of the lemons that will be, and you'll just look at the refrigerator, till the first of Iyar, you can buy them in any store, buy anyone you want, because it doesn't have the sanctity of Shvi'it. Why? Because only on the first day of Iyar, of Tuf Shin Samach Chet, will there be lemons in the market that the fruit was formed, began to be formed in the sabbatical year, in Shvi'it. Is that clear? In other words, and then when you'll take your calendar out, you'll see that it goes until Aleph, this happens to be till Aleph Iyar, Tovshin Samachtet, which means when we're going to forget about Shemitah. Shemitah will be over, you're going to do everything in your gardens. But still, when it comes to the fruits, they will have the sanctity, Kedushat Shvit, and we'll see what we have to do about something that has Kedushat Shvit. Now, that's one term. Now, the determination of Kedushat Shvit is a bit complicated, just as when we'll get to Trumot and Maisrot to determine which year in the seven-year cycle is this product. And when we come to vegetables, vegetables to have only the sanctity or Kedushat Shvit have to be picked in the seventh year, which means a tomato which will be planted in the next month, it is not, doesn't have the forbidden what we call it aftergrowth, the svichin which we talked about. But now you know that this coming year, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Thursday and Friday, and then we're going to have Shabbat, and then Tzom Gedalia will not be Gimel Tishrei, but it's going to be Dalet Tishrei. Dalet Tishrei, there will be tomatoes that will reach the market. They can be eaten, because we said last time, remember, about that special decree in vegetables, because of people who were dishonest and they said they grew by themselves and they planted them during the seventh year. So therefore, that doesn't begin. The tomato has Kedushat Shvit. I know it's a little complicated, because that is determined by the time that the tomato is picked. And if it's picked in the seventh year, it has Kedushat Shvit. But all tomatoes that are eaten until Aleph Tevet, again, don't worry, it's going to be on your list, until Aleph Tevet Tavshin Samachet, meaning next year, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, until after the Festival of Lights, right? After the Festival of Lights and the Festival of Lots, Hanukkah and Purim. Anyway, any vegetable, that any tomato which will be eaten till the first day of Tevet, we say that it comes from tomatoes that were planted in this year. But since they were picked in the seventh year, they do not have the forbidden svichim. But they do have what, people? Kedushat Shvit, because the determining factor in Kedushat Shvit in vegetables is the time that they are picked. When we come to the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelts, and the what we call, let's say, the kitniot and all these beans, the determining factor of Kedushat Shvit, again, would be if they reached a third of their development in the Shemitah year. In other words, if they reached a third of their development in the sixth year, even if they're picked in the year of Shemitah, they don't have Kedushat Shvit. I know it's a bit complicated, but in every classification of food, we have to know what is the basis of declaring its sanctity for Shvit, and what is the basis, as we spoke in the last shiur, of what we call Iser Svichim. I'm sorry? Of what? Oh, I'll give you an example in a second. Okay, let's go to these grains that we have here. Let us say we have, we have here, this is fruit and this is this. Let's say, for example, let's take something which is called hummus. Hummus, right? Hummus, or whatever it is. That will not have Kedushat Shvit until the first day of Sivan next year, of Shavuot, because in its growth, the only fruit, that the only hummus that reaches a third of its growth. Again, next week, next time you have this in front of you, it'll seem so simple, because at the bottom of the page there's an explanation about this and the third of the growth. I'm just so sorry that I wasn't able to get this to you today. And then they receive, but since it grows in the field, and it grows annually, just once a year, the hummus, it has an Iser of Svichim, which means that after, till Aleph Sivan, you can buy all the chickpeas that you want. Afterwards, we'll see what you have to do in terms of that, and that will not end till Aleph Sivan Tovshin Samach Tet. On the other hand, there are a number of these grains that never have Kedushat Shvit, because, or a biur, because they're just simply what? Not raised in this country. Rice, afuna, has no kedusha, no svichin, no biur. The wheat that we eat in this country is all imported. There is wheat which is grown here, and you know what it's grown for, people? It's grown for matzah shmura for Chag HaPesach, and I want to tell you that there's going to be a problem next year. You know, one of the things in Sfirat HaOmer, the real Avelut, didn't begin either with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, and did not begin with the Crusades. It began with the trepidation of those 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. If there's going to be rain in that period, follow me, the grain will become rotten. If there will be too many chamsinim, it will be rotten. I happen to be in Kibbutz De Eliyahu, which grows much of this wheat for the preparation of the matzah shmura, and they said, we don't have a product. If you remember, between Pesach and Shavuot, those rains, well, those rains made all of the seeds of the wheat that they had were all spoiled. So this, by the way, is the real avelut of, everybody doesn't realize, this is the basis of avelut in the Sfira period. It's the trepidation of the farmer. So today we have the American Point 4 program. There's plenty of wheat, there's plenty of everything. But imagine when there is a ra'av ba'aretz in chameshet minei dagan, Yaakov Avinu had plenty of fruits and nuts. Didn't he send Mr. Pharaoh lots of fruits and nuts as a gift? But what didn't he have? He didn't have the grains. And that's incidentally, but we don't have to worry now. This is another thing. In the entire agricultural and economic structure of this country, the primary grains that we eat our bread from, and our cake from, and our pasta from, all of that flour comes from Chutzlar. So when you're going to look at the word chita, this is worked out by an agronomist, you will see that ain kedusha, ain svichin, ain biur.
What about all the ones that are raising, that are growing organic wheat?
You know where they grew the organic wheat? In Sde Eliyahu. This is the leader of organic wheat. And it all went. I was there Erev Shavuot, and I spoke to the people there. Okay, but let's not get into that topic. Yeah, we'll see. But I'm just saying to you, if organic wheat in this country is going to be very, very difficult to get. Some of the Haredi community said that they were Mispalel, and there was a nace, and they had it. I don't know. Let's not get into that topic now. Let's not, please. Let's get into the basis here. So we have here the Kedushat Shvit and the Svichin. Now, what does Kedushat Shvit mean? I take a lemon. Okay, I have a stain on my shirt. Oh, lemon juice might be something which will be able to take the stain off very well. Not with the pre of Shvit. Because something that has the sanctity of Shvit and its primary purpose is for eating or making juice can only be used for that purpose and for nothing else. something which is also cooked and not cooked can be eaten both ways. In other words, Kedusha Shvi'it, or there are people who have a minhag on Motzei Shabbat that they take a little wine after the Havdalah and they spill it on the light, and then they, I don't know where they put it, the ears, the nose, the eyes, the foot, the head, but they start moving it on all over the body. Well, it'll be a wonderful thing to drink wine of Kedushat Shvi'it, and we're going to encourage it, but you can't go through this ceremony of Shvi'it, because what can Kedushat Shvi'it, grape juice or wine, be done? Drink it. But you cannot use it to take the fire. This is a very, very important thing. It's a, the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to eat fruits with Kedushat Shvi'it, but we can't use it for, I don't know what to call that. There are two things I don't understand. The Ashkenazic minhag, I call it the huji buji, of lighting candles on Friday night, where the halacha is that every mitzvah, the bracha should be made before you do the mitzvah. But the Ashkenazic women, for some reason, think that a bracha which says, Asher ki dishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, what do we have to do? Lahadlik. That makes Shabbos. Well, I think that bracha is still one of the things that's prohibited on Shabbos. And therefore, all of the Sfarding poskim say, don't make that buji buji, as if you don't see the light, but simply make the bracha and light the candles. But the Ashkenazim have accepted it. We're not going to argue with the minhag of the Ashkenaz. The other one was this spilling of the wine. Now, what else does Kedushat Shvi'it, what else is there with Kedushat Shvi'it that's our problem? How do we buy Kedushat Shvi'it? Kedushat Shvi'it has a very strange, it's very catchy. And unless you, what do I mean by catchy? Let's say a man is selling oranges that have Kedushat Shvi'it. We can eat them. We have paskin that even if he grew them against, in other words, he did everything which is usur. He fertilized when you didn't have to fertilize. We'll get into that. He gave water when you didn't have to give water. He locked up the fence of his orchard, and you can't go in to take oranges. Nevad v'nishmar, everything terrible. The Chazon Ish, contrary to other poskim, says, we may eat it. So now you have here an orange. This is our basic problem, that I want to go into one of the supermarkets. It's got Kedushat Shvi'it because it's after when does Tapuz become, when does Tapuz get the Kedushat Shvi'it? At 15th of Cheshvan, Tav Shin Samach Tet. In other words, it first get it first gets its Kedushat Shvi'it, and wait, no, the 15th of Cheshvan, Tavshin Samach. When are the oranges that you're eating, that you're going to be eating next this fall, came from last year, right? So the oranges that we're going to be eating in the fall of the year of Shemitah, when the year after Shemitah, came from this year. And follow this count. Let's say, okay, we have oranges that have Kedushat Shvi'it. I go into the store, and the man, he's a very nice fellow, and he says, you want a kilo of oranges? He weighs it, and you give him money. What happens to that money, people? It has Kedushat Shvi'it. I said there's something here which is very contagious, very difficult. Now, the fruit has Kedushat Shvi'it. That original fruit remains with Kedushat Shvi'it until it's eaten. And the money has Kedushat Shvi'it. What is he supposed to do with that money? He can't buy his little son a nice shirt for his bar mitzvah. He has to use money of Kedushat Shvi'it for buying of food. Now, if I give him the money, I'll say, well, that's his worry. No. You are Nisaye Lidei Aveira. By giving him money for something which has Kedushat Shvi'it, and he doesn't know how to handle it properly, you are causing him to do something wrong. Now we come to the solution to this problem. And the solution to this problem we are going to discuss, and this is, and I hope, in fact, I know that if you try to join this organization, you haven't gotten answers. Thousands of people have been joining at such a rate that it's unbelievable. As I pointed out last time, there will not be a heter mechira of the rabbinate for everything. They will, for those specific farmers who will show that they have to produce something with Kedusha Kit that has to go to France, or else they're going to be out of business, for them there will be a local Heter Mechira, but Eretz Yisrael is not going to be sold from Nahariya to Eilat in one big thing. There is no such thing this year. And the person who is in charge of this is one of the most capable people. He is the Rav of Tnuva, a real Zionist, Rav Weitman. We're not talking here about the Haredi approach. We're talking here now about the approach of Talmidei Chachamim who are in the religious Zionist camp. Therefore, there is not going to be a Heter Mechira. So that all of the fruit that you will be buying, if you always said, I keep the Heter Mechira, you know, if you had skipped the Heter Mechira, you said, goodbye, Shemitah. You had no Shemitah. Because then the fruit loses its Kedushat Shvi'it, and you went ahead and you did what it says in the Parsha, B'chukotai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Golos because we did not know how to keep the Shemitah. But let's not go into that. That certainly was necessary years ago, the Heter Mechira. It's not necessary today. But what? The problem that we have here, how am I going to buy those oranges? So we said, I'll answer all the questions at the end. Please let me continue. We can buy those oranges. We can buy them with a credit card. Remember we said that? We can buy them with a check. But all of that is problematic because, you know what, you're going into the store and he's weighing them. What do Chazal say? That there is a way to buy those oranges and we are fully fulfilling the halacha and no need to compromise in any way by having the Heter Mechira. There is a Tosefta in Masechet Shvi'it, Perek Chet, in the 8th chapter, the first halacha, that says like this. Barishona hayu shluchei bedin yoshvim al pitchei ayarot, kol mi shemevi peirot betoch yado b'shnat ha-shmita, notlim oto mimenu v'notlim lahem mazon shalosh sudot, v'ashar machnisim lo'otzar shebeir. Betin, you had a farm, you're bringing in some fruit from the farm, here, but you didn't worry about it. You're bringing all of the oranges you have and all of the tomatoes you have. But you're supposed to leave them for poor people. But you took them in, or even you might have psychologically said, I'll distribute them to the poor. What do I need them to come? I'll be the one that'll decide. So the Tosefta tells us that the Betin just sat at the entrance to the city. And as the farmers came in, they said, how many children do you have in your family? Good, we're giving you food for 3 seudot, and the rest we're putting into an otsar, into a special place, and we, the betin, will distribute all of those vegetables to the poor. We're going to do that mitzvah for you. Instead of you, it wasn't so, they didn't want to do the mitzvah. Then there is a second period which started, and then it says like this, Higiyas man te'enim, when it came the time to take in the figs, shluchei bedin socharim poalim ve'odrim otam ve'osim otam devela u'machnisim oto lo'otzar shebe'ir. Now we find already that the economic planning for the agriculture of the Shvi'it year goes over to the Beitin. Now, the Ramban in Parshat Bahar discusses this, and I advise anybody who wants to really see, we're not going to go into all of the sources of the Otsar Betin, but what does Otsar Betin really mean? Otsar Betin means that if we will have in Yirtzah Hashem 100,000 families who will join this Otsar Betin, they will then go religious farmers will be very happy. But even non-religious, those who are non-observant, and we will say to them, you know what? What does it cost you to bring that product to the market? What does it cost you to water? What does it cost you to fertilize? What does it cost you to produce the fruit? The cost of producing, and they will work this out with experts. We did it the last time, but there weren't enough people who joined the Otsar Bet in, so it lost 10 million shekel. And they will then make a contract with the farmer. He will become their worker to do the things that are permitted to be done in Shemitah. Because remember, the Torah says, V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem le'ochla. You're supposed to eat the peyrot of Shvit. And the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to eat otam. Okay, so you as the farmer, we're hiring you. Next year, it's not your field. That orchard is not yours next year. And we will, therefore, you will be the worker who will do all of the work. You and your workers that you do, and you will bring them to our central marketing place. We will pay you for everything except the fruit value itself. We'll pay you for the watering, we'll pay you for the fertilizing, we'll pay you for the bringing, we'll pay you for workers that have to work. You're going to be our kablan here. The only thing we don't want, you will receive a decent amount of money if you want to join, and it will be nice for you, but we never pay for what? For the fruit. Therefore, what do we do? Now the Otsar Beit Din opens a store. I know they're opening, right, the way I understand now, in Yerushalayim alone, there are going to be six, seven, there's going to be one in Bayit Vegan, a miracle, because Bayit Vegan has become very, very Haredi, but there are enough people in Bayit Vegan who don't want to buy from the who they don't want to buy from. And they, and in fact, there is, when you buy a kilo of potatoes, you're buying 18 bullets for an M16 gun. This is, there's now an advertisement which is going out. What? Yeah, but that's what. But we don't have to give them more money for M16s. And this is what the Haredi community has made agreements with. Now we have come along and we say we are going to use Jewish products. Jewish products means, in terms of fruit, you will only be buying and supporting Jewish farmers. This is going to be, if it works, and so far the cooperation has been tremendous. And I'm ready to give you the phone numbers. Not the phone number that they show, that 1-700, but the phone number in the office of the Otsar Haaretz, which is a much better, it's a secret, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. It won't be a secret much longer. But now, that's in turn, in other words, you will go to you will give them 50 shekel to become a member. Every month, they will take 50 shekel from your credit card, and they will give you 50 shekel worth of coupons, and you will go into the Otsar Haaretz store, and you will pay for the price that has been designated for these products, the apples, the oranges, and so forth, and it's your money, because they take it off of your credit card, and you have this, but you will not be paying for what? For the fruit. Therefore, please remember this. You're paying, and he's happy. Economically, he's doing pretty well, because he's been guaranteed on the basis, the farmer is very happy with this, and the Gemara says, as long as you don't pay for the price of the kilo of apples, there is no kiddushat shvi'it, there is no sanctity of shvi'it on that money. And you therefore can do, the payrot, the fruits will have kiddushat shvi'it, please remember, the fruits will certainly have kiddushat shvi'it, but therefore, you have to treat them in your own home, but that's a big difference than having the problem of giving a nice person, but who doesn't know what to do with money of Kedusha Tzvid, and buying it in his store or his supermarket. Now, what about vegetables with Tzvichim? After all, Otsar Haaretz will be able to provide Jewish vegetables, they believe, without the Heter Mechira for every single person. What are their sources? What are the sources? After all, with vegetables, what's our problem, people? Svichin, right? Remember, products, any vegetable which begins to grow in the seventh year has a din of Svichin. Well, first of all, there's an entire plan now with many yishuvim, what we call Yirakot Mishana Shishit. They have raised a great deal of vegetables that have been, not everything, in cold storage, which will be sold in the year of Shemitah. Then we have what's called, and I'm not going to go to the whole halacha, Matzah Menutak B'toch Chamama. I'll explain that. There is the Yerushalmi in Masechet, in the tractate of Kilayim, asks the following question. If I plant in Shavit, if I plant in the sabbatical year tomatoes within a house, in the ground of the house, in other words, the floor is an earth floor, and I plant tomatoes within the house. The Torah uses the word sadeh. And perhaps if that is covered, it's not sadeh. Therefore, maybe that would be, and the Yerushalmi remains with a problem. Tekel. It does not know. Because it says that the word sadeh can also mean, I'm not going through the whole subject, your only home. However, if you add one more element, you take and put and raise those vegetables on a platform which is elevated from the ground, and you go ahead and you put underneath some plastic in hothouses, you can raise a tremendous, there are hothouse vegetables, and they're being raised, and there's an entire plan to do this. That will be number two. So we don't have to go to Ahmad to buy our vegetables, because you know what happens even with the Heter Mechira. It's a one big joke. All of the, what happened with Tzuva in the last time when they were short of vegetables? They went and bought from the Arabs. Tshnuva, you ate and supported, even if you kept the Heter Mechira, you supported those who were killing Jews. They guarantee you they will only buy from Jews. What is another thing that they're going to do? No. They're going to grow it in the hothouse on the platform in dirt. They're going to grow. Not hydroponics. Hydroponics has never worked in terms of economically being away. One time Chafetz Chaim tried to grow with hydroponics, but it really never worked. What else will there be? The southern Arava, what we call Midbar Paran, for those who know, the very southern Arava, according to almost every posek, was never part of Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody agrees, but almost every posek agrees that, now listen to this, it's going to sound like we're contradicting ourselves, but we're not. Since the great majority of poskim say that the southern Arava is not Eretz Yisrael, we will use the Heter Mechira, we will sell this to a non-Jew, not an Arab, because what's the basic attack on the Heter Mechira? Remember, the Heter Mechira is not to be laughed at. The Heter Mechira is something that has a basis in halacha. But I'm going to quote you a little later that the man who wrote the Heter Mechira said, please don't use it. the farmer has to, but please, I beg you, Rav Kook said, and I'm going to quote it, please don't use the Heter Mechira. How? Why? The big problem is Lo Techanem. We are giving, if we sell this to a non-Jew, we give him encampment Chanaya in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, if the Haredim think that by buying from the Palestinian Authority and giving them millions of shkolim, they are not giving them chanaya in Eretz Yisrael, which is a much stronger chanaya than selling with the Heter Mechira for 2 years, in which it says specifically that it's coming back to you. I wonder which is a greater giving the non-Jew, or the murderer, I would say, giving him place in Eretz Yisrael. So they will use the Heter Mechira in the southern, where there isn't, everybody practically says there won't be Lo Techanem, and they're going to grow things there, and they now have, really, they've planted already a tremendous amount of stuff, and they will be planting in the year of Shemitah. According to the agronomists who are working with the Otsar Haaretz, they say that they feel if enough Jews will support the Otsar Haaretz, every Jew will be able to eat fruits and vegetables without having to depend on a non-Jew and without having to use the Heter Mechira, which has its problems, as I will... Ooh, I haven't got much time, do I? I'm going to go into gardening in a second. I just want to read you in terms, please, all questions ask me afterwards because it's really late. I want to read you what Rav Kook says after he wrote the Heter Mechira. You know, he was the man behind the entire Heter Mechira. Rav Kook, and I think I should have it here, but I can't find it at the moment. Rav Kook basically writes in a letter to the Rabbanim, I have never eaten from the Heter Mechira. I will never eat. I'm asking every observant Jew not to eat from the Heter Mechira. We will make the Heter Mechira because the Jewish farmer has to exist, and if he has to send it to Chutzlars, we will do it. In other words, the Heter Mechira, you know, there is no such thing in Kashrut. You know what the halacha is in Kashrut. If I am a shochet, what do I have to do with part of the meat according to Yoredeya? I have to eat from it. If I'm not ready to eat from my shechita, but Rav Kook was not ready, he felt that you had to make the Heter Mechira, but he said, Jews who are observant, please don't eat from the Heter Mechira. We won't have this problem if we join the Otsar Haaretz. Let me give you the details of how you join. The telephone number that you found in all of the advertisements, I'll give you that number too, was a 1-700-709-177. However, there is an office of the, because the Otsar Haaretz is not something that starts, there is what we call a Machon HaTorah VeHaaretz, which used to be in Kfar Darom, and they write but it's now situated in Ashkelon. It's not that they're in, and they are the ones that went through, and I tell you, at the beginning, I had great trepidation. I didn't give you the telephone number last month. I was afraid. But the way they tell me that Jews are cooperating with this in terms of the Otsar Haaretz, so I would like to urge you, and you know I get a little percentage for it, I like to urge you to find out to join the Otsar Haaretz. Their number is 08, this is their in their office, 684-7235. Don't try to call on Friday. 08-684-7235. Now I must spend at least 10 minutes on gardening. This is extremely important. I am prepared to answer afterwards any question that you have, but I think that if everybody came for this purpose, I can't take the time now in answering any specific question, but I'd rather go into the question of gardening. Okay? What are we talking about here? Basically, we're speaking about, first of all, I'd like to give you two halachic terms that they are the key to all of gardening. The terms are, and I'll translate this, the first one is Le'ivruye Ilana, Lamed Aleph, Bet Resh Vav Yud Yud. The next word, Ilana, Aleph Yud Lamed Nun Aleph. I will prevent my tree from dying. I will do everything to see that it survives the tree. And then there is another term that's called Le'ikume Ilana, Lamed Aleph Kuf, Vav Mem Yud, and Ilana tree, Aleph Yud Lamed Nun Aleph. I want to improve, Lahakim, I want to improve my plant. I want it to be better. I want to cut off the bad branches. It's not going to die, but I want to make it better. Basically, the Yerushalmi says, and this is the basis of everything, if your purpose is in plants that you have out in your garden, your purpose is to see that they do not die, that they do exist, that they function so that after Shemitah you can even make them better, any melacha, any work which is rabbinically forbidden in Shemitah may be done. Actually, I finished it all, but I'm going to give you lots of examples. In other words, remember we learned that there were basically a number of types of work which were min ha-Torah. Even if Shemitah today is rabbinic, but this has to do with it being, the work is min ha-Torah. One of them, of course, is the seeding. One may not seed in a field outside. I'll talk about flower pots in the house in a few minutes. One may not seed outside during the year of Shemitah. Here we mean from Aleph Tishrei until Chaf Tet Elul. Anything, there's no Kedusha treat which passes on. In other words, till the year of Shemitah, up till three days before, you can plant plants. And I think I gave you last time the dates about trees, but I'm not going to go into that now. And now let's go into these two terms, Ikume Ilana and so forth. Okay? First of all, what about fertilizing my garden? What about fertilizing? May I fertilize my garden? The halacha says, yes, do it during the month of Elul. Don't say that if I won't do it in Elul, it might die in Kislev. If that's the situation, you better do it in Elul. But what if you did it in Elul and your gardener says that these three, four plants that are here, if they don't have any fertilization, they will die. So no, you can give me the psak halacha. What's the psak halacha? You may fertilize. This is it. All you have to know, the principle is the purpose to see that the plant will exist, maybe not as strong as you'd like it to be, or will the plant die? If there's a danger of the plant dying, practically any kind of work which would normally be usher midrabanan may be done here. Okay? Watering my grass. No question. Now, afterwards, I want to water my grass. Well, if I don't water my grass, let's hope that we'll have a winter which will give us lots of rain, but that's not enough for the grass. What do I do in watering my grass? If I see that if I don't water my grass will die, I may water my grass, but you know what? Try, if possible, to water it a little bit less, if possible, and if possible, use an automatic sprinkler so that you're not doing what's called a maise biyadayim, that you're with your own hand, you're watering. But again, your grass is going to die and you have to do it with your hose, do it with your hose. It's mutter to do this with your hose. Now, one may not weed. Now, here's what we said. One should not weed his garden during Shemitah. However, no, what's the next question? But what if the weeds will perhaps destroy my plants. So what do you think the halacha says? One may weed in order not to destroy their plants during the year of Shemitah. These are the key words we're not talking about in your own house. We'll get to your own house in a few minutes. I'm talking now about out in your garden. Now, what about flowers? I don't know what to do first. Flowers. The Yerushalmi in Shvit, in the seventh parak of Shvit, says that flowers that have a scent to them have kedushat shvit, not svichin. Please remember. In other words, you can take those flowers and enjoy them, but again, what's our problem? I want to go on Erev Shabbat and bring my wife some flowers, and there's a guy selling some flowers that have a scent, and he wants 20 shekel for these flowers. If I will give him the 20 shekel and the flowers have kedushat shvit, I am Messiah Lidei Avera, because he may use that money to go on Friday night to a bar. Bar wouldn't be so bad. He's going to buy food. But he may use that money to go ahead and buy himself a new pair of shoes. And Kedushat Shvit money cannot be used for that. So in buying, again, if you want to buy flowers that have a scent, there will be stores that will have, what do you think, the Otsar Bedding program for it, again. So therefore, what are you paying for? The raising of the flowers, the watering of the flowers, but the flowers you're not paying for, so there is no sanctity of feet. Non-smelling flowers, buy them from anybody you want during Shvit. Even if that person planted it in Shvit, even if he did every Isser in the world, everything which he shouldn't have done in Shvit, he went ahead and in his field, he went ahead, but if they don't have a scent, they don't have Kedushat Shvit, there was never a Gezerat Svichim, and you may buy it because it can be bought, but it doesn't have sanctity, buy it from anybody along the street. I'll answer all your questions.
Is there a list of those flowers? Is there a list of somewhere that has a list of which flowers have...
I don't have a list. You know what? Your nose can usually tell you. Your nose can tell. I don't have a list. And even on this step, even this which we're going to give you, will not give you the list of flowers. Now, in my own house, here, I'm sure that many of you have. You want, okay? Now, follow, there is here a number of things which don't logically work, but they are gzeirot of Chazal because of the fear of something else. I live, let's say, is there anything below this floor? In other words, this floor here is on the earth. It may be some kind of sand or something, but it's right on the earth, right? It's not a second floor, it's right on the earth. I cannot, even if I have an atzitz, a flower pot, which is not perforated. In other words, it's a close, but by the way, a flower pot can have a little hole to let out the water, and it's still called an atzitz, which is better in certain things, she'eino nakuv, and that's very, very good. However, on this floor, I couldn't put that flower pot down. Why can't I put Gzeirat Chazal? If you permit somebody to grow something on this floor, that means on the ground you can grow. This is not something that we can discuss. This Chazal said that there's an Isser. If you go ahead and you want to put it up on a platform and put something, some plastic, between this flower pot and the floor, it's all right. If you're on a second floor, meaning it doesn't have to be a second floor. If there's a basement below you, it's the first floor. Not the ground floor of the house. You can put flower pots down. You can plant them during the year of Shemitah. As long as there is a roof, a covering over the plant. However, now you want to move from a smaller house in Hashmonaim to a larger house in Hashmonaim during the year of Shemitah. and taking a plant outside, until now it grew in the house, and taking it out where it's exposed to the earth. Remember, it's now outside, it's open at the top, and underneath there is earth, is a problem, and it's a serious problem. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, let's not make it so serious. Just take some plastic, wrap it up while you're carrying it. See that it's completely closed in at the top and the bottom, and you may move it. You know what all the machmirim say? They write, Yaseh She'elat Chacham. Oh, ask the Shaila. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, cut out the Shailas. All you have to do is see that you continue this mechitza, this separation from the sky and the earth below it. And now, a stranger thing. I have my top floor. I have a porch. It's certainly not on the ground, but it's open at the top. There's a gezeirat chazal that if it's open at the top, you can't plant there during the year of Shemitah. If the plant is there, you can take care of it, just like you can take care of your garden. Remember, there's nothing wrong with having a plant on the floor here, or if it's there all the time, as long as during Shemitah you don't have zuriyah, you don't plant it, but if you can take care of your garden, you can take care of that too.
What about planting plants?
In your own house, if it's not on the bottom floor and it's not in a porch which is open, you may plant anything you want during Shemitah. But it has to be in this kind of a situation. It's preferable, here again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you can use any kind of a flower pot, a perforated or non-perforated. The Machmirim of Cook will say only use a non-perforated flower pot. But within the house, you can do that. You can do that. Okay. Bringing the plants home would be the same thing. You have to take it from the nursery. Now, again, bringing that plant home, you can bring it home, even if that person planted it. Remember, if you plant it and it's usher, you're doing something wrong. You go to a nursery, and there is a plant which was planted in Shemitah, and he did it. If we say that Shamur, even though he didn't, and then say it's planted in the ground or whatever it is, and he should have made it hefker. That's only if it's a plant that has scent to it. But if it's any other plant, you can take that plant, but you can't take a plant which was under a roof, take it outside, and bring it into your home. What do you have to do? Wrap it up. You cannot do in Shemitah, if you want to buy a plant, you may buy it on the condition that you completely wrap it around, because once you take it from a place that has a roof outside, there is a problem that you have now taken something which has a Shemitah product outside and that you're not allowed to do. I'll tell you, when we have for the next session, which will be primarily Trumot Maisrot, everybody will have a copy of this calendar. I will be able to go through all of this. I just want to close, say there's something which I'm sure all of you felt in the last few weeks. You read Parshat Bechukotai, and you said to yourself, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? What does he say? What's going to be the greatest thing for Eretz Yisrael? That you guys are not in Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, the land, nobody's going to work the land in Eretz Yisrael. If nobody's going to work the land in Eretz Yisrael, that's the real bracha. Why? Why pick on such a thing as Shemitah? What is Shemitah that the Torah uses in the klalot of Parshat Bechukotai? As tirtzeh ha'aretz et shabtoteha. Then the land will be happy with his Shabbat. And I think this is very, very important. What is the seventh day of the week? What is Shabbat? Shabbat we declare, number one, that this world is not ours. The world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki sheshet yamim asa, and therefore on Shabbat, by listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and resting, we are saying that you have created the world. Shemitah, by the way, we pointed out last time, what is Shemitah called in the Torah? Shabbat, Shabbaton. The same thing as Yom Kippur, the same thing as Shabbat. It is on the degree, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Shabbat, Shabbaton. The Torah, this is the only other thing which is called. Well, what are you saying here? When I keep Shemitah properly, I'm saying not only is the world yours, but the land which you have given us, our Eretz Yisrael, we recognize that we received it from you, says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If you don't recognize it, and you're doing everything wrong, because Shemitah is much too confusing, I'm not going to keep that, I'm going to keep Kashrut, but Shemitah, I'm not going to really keep it. What am I really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm saying that I am the boss of this land. I'm not going to make it hefker. I'm not going to do all of these things. It's mine to do with whatever I want. And therefore, I think that I'm almost excited about it until next year, when if there'll be some kinks in this, and you'll come to me and you'll say, hey, why were you so excited? But I really feel that the Otsar Haaretz is going to work well, and we're going to fulfill Shemitah, and we're going to eat all the vegetables that we have to eat, and all the fruit that we have to eat, and we will eat it from Jewish farmers and support Jewish farmers, and therefore we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have kept Shemitah the way you have asked us to keep it. Anybody who has questions, come up to me here, and I'll be glad to...
Can I ask just a clarifying point? A lot of people here, I think, weren't here for the last Shemitah, or sufficiently aged, that we don't remember what happened last Shemitah. When we actually go to the store, we're going to be faced with a number of choices, depending on the store we go to, or what our choices are available from stores. Made it very clear that there is a choice of an Otsar bed that not to be confused with a
No, they are going to be Otsar bedding stores.
Right.
They are not going to have Ahmad's tomatoes there.
So, but just so people are aware of what other choices they may see to know to avoid them.
Well, I think that's quite clear.
In other words,
what if there's an Arab who works, you know, I teach at Midreshet Moria, and it's a school in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, it's a girls' school, and one of the Arabs was working, he was talking to me, a very intelligent family. He says, you should have seen the last Shemitah, boy, did we make money. I said, how did you make money? He said, when we ran out of tomatoes, we went to the Jewish farmers on Shabbat, we bought these non-religious farmers all the tomatoes we wanted. We reboxed them in our boxes. He told me that openly. And we sold them. Can you imagine that the Eda Haredit is going to send the Mashkiach to stay in any community on Shabbat? Can you imagine in your life that there'll be a Jew who's going to say, I'm a Mashkiach and I'm going to stay this Shabbat all alone in Gaza, I'm going to stay in the West Bank in a town there. Can you enter your mind? There is going to be so much, and there's so much so straight about the Otsar Haaretz, the real effort to keep Shemitah properly.
You said that there will not be one in heaven here.
I didn't say that. That's the notice that I got from the rabbinate.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. So if you walk into a supermarket, What will they be selling? They don't usually tell our...
There will
probably... What will Tzlu be selling?
I don't know now what they're going to be selling. I can tell you that there are some of the supermarkets that are going to buy the Arab products because they serve great Haredi communities. There's one supermarket...
Not
No, I'm talking about supermarkets that are all over this country, but they are going to buy. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But I don't have to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to knock another Jew. I want to say that we will be able to buy products from Jews, supporting Jews. That's all. I don't right now know. And I, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what they think they're going to do. Ask the supermarkets, and they'll tell you they don't know. They don't really know what they're going to do. But there's not... I received this in email. The Rabbanut says, please tell your people that there's not going to be a Heter Mechira unless certain farmers will come to a board and show that they are going to be in bad situation if they don't have it. Or those they have to export to live on. Yes. Oh, wait. I think there's somebody in the back. Slicha, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I overlooked you. I'm sorry.
I just wonder, what I'm puzzled about in previous years, you saved a lot of the Jews during a Beirut by getting the Iran. If you say that first of all, if they're not getting the Iran, then the average Jew, who may well be Mr. Lapid, it's possible, is going to go to the supermarket and buy a product. I think he's going to buy it in somewhere else's store, or he's going to order it.
What's he going to buy? He's buying, what is he buying? He's buying something which you can eat. However, if I'm going to tell this non-religious Jew, you know what, that money has Kedusha Tzvit, how are you going to buy that after you are? He's going to laugh you in the face. So really, without trying to show any kind of superiority, he's not going, that means nothing to him. All of the things that you're so worried about with him, how is he going to buy it? He'll buy it, he'll pay his money. First of all, they'll always you're not allowed to weigh products of Kedusha Tzvit. Okay.
I think what he's saying is nobody's worrying about all the Jews, only the people who are in the know, okay. And no one will do it will be doing the right thing, and everyone else will be doing the wrong thing, and no one's taking care of them.
It all depends in what? Again, I say to you, it all depends in what are you not worrying about them. You're not worrying about them that you're going to give them food that they can't eat? Well, it's not so in terms of fruits. They can eat it. You're not worried because you're going to say that they're going to go be Messiah, Lidea, Vera, and they'll give you money. They'll be the first ones to laugh in your face. They're not thieves. A Jew will say, I want to accept upon myself the disciplines of Torah. Again, what are we worrying about? The Heter Mechira, however, let's understand this. The Heter Mechira kind of made no Shemitah, correct? There was no Shemitah. The person who had the Heter Mechira, he bought like he always bought. He didn't know what Shemitah was. There was no Shemitah. And look at the people who wrote the Heter Mechira, what they are telling you. Isn't it sound very strange that the man who worried so about the Jewish people, Rav Kook, says, please, if you have any feeling, don't eat the Heter Mechira. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm telling you, I'm doing it because the farmer needs it. But I can't worry about it. There's nothing, and because the Heter Mechira, especially today, there's more problems. You say that there are less problems. There are more problems today in terms, how can you sell that to a guy? Let me tell you something. You know that there's a law in this country that legally all the land within the borders of, you know, the 67 borders of Eretz Yisrael cannot be given. They belong to Jewish people. It belongs to the state. Basically belongs, how are you taking something which legally you can't sell? Before this law was passed, there is so much difficulty illegally in the halacha with the Heter Mechira that if we can provide Jews, the other option is go to the Haredi. If you don't go to the Haredi, there is no way whatsoever. Heter Mechira is a very weak thing. It's weak. What way are you going to see that a Jew eats Jewish products? There is no way. It's difficult. I recognize that this is difficult. But this is a revolution, I think,
that's stretching out, you know what, people who I would say, you know, they're not in the yeshiva world of the religious Zionists, all are excited about the concept of the old site, an opportunity to buy Jewish products and keep Shemitah fully. Okay, what was the last one on this side?
The last article, the...
I don't know. You know what? When you call that number, ask the number, where are they planning in your area store? You see, Otsar Haaretz has said that they are going to establish a store in Hashmonaim for fruits and vegetables. She called up, she asked him.
No, me, you called him. No, me.
We all hear the question, Elise?
Yeah, her question is, if you don't need the fertilization, is what you're saying, but it's an automatic kind of, when you get the water, you will be fertilizing more than you need, correct? More than it's necessary for it not to die. That is a problem. That is a problem. You can't fertilize more, because you know what you're doing? You're really improving your product. And during, remember those four words? The kume ilana, the etuye ilana. I really don't know the technical ways, but I cannot imagine that sometimes you have to put the fertilizer into the water. You do have to.
No, you don't. Can I
complete
my question now?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I go into a store and buy oranges, before olive,
whatever it is, you buy it just like you always bought it, have it weighed.
I'm sorry, lemon.
Next year.
I'm going to buy lemon. He sells also all kinds of vegetables, which have to push that sheep. I now buy 10 shekels worth of lemons. So I give him 100 shekels. Do I have to worry about the 90 shekel change that he gives me, having to do such speed that he's been doing business with?
Yes.
Of course. Well,
how are you? This is a real problem with our deal, Sarari. I mean, did you just hear that problem? It is a problem. If that man gives you change, and that change was given to him for Kedushat Shvi'it. No, you can use it. You can go ahead, if you get that money, and you can use that and buy meat. You don't have to buy vegetables. You can even buy meat. Food. Anything which isn't food. By the way, then the money loses its Kedushat Shvi'it. The only thing that has permanent Kedushat Shvi'it is the first product. In other words, first product sold, money has Kedushat Shvi'it, money goes and buys meat, money goes out of Kedushat Shvi'it, meat has Kedushat Shvi'it, you eat the Kedushat Shvi'it, bye-bye Kedushat Shvi'it.
The other thing is, you mentioned the Arav Rav, which is not part of what there is Israel.
Not the entire Arav Rav. You know what the Rambam, it's below the 30th, what is it, parallel. Yeah.
The question is, why then do they have to sell it before they grow there? What's that for?
Because there were, I'll tell you why. What if you're a patriotic Jew, listen to me, and you live in a lot? Now listen to me carefully. How would you like if I said to you that according to many people, it's not in the original Gvulot of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Tukatsinsky, a great posek here in in Jerusalem. Rabbi Yechiel Michel and other poskim have said that a lot is part of Eretz. That's why I said there is a mute, there is a minority of poskim. That question was very good. You realize what we're saying here when we're saying that we're buying in the southern part, and this is again a Harei Rabim Lahatot. It's all right, but let's not say that a lot is not Eretz Yisrael. A lot of Jews have given...
Well, there are a lot of people that keep 2 days yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, and a lot.
According to most poskim, you don't have to do that. Yes?
Eventually, you have these coupons that you receive, 50 shekels a month. Assuming that you need
200 shekels.
So you'll buy or use your own money, or you can ask them for more, or you don't have to have. You will be able to pay for it with money too. Why do they want these 50 shekels? Very simple. In order to be ensured that they're going to be able to pay the farmers, etc. But you can buy, remember, and your money will not have kedusha treat, because you're never paying, when you're never paying for the fruit, you're paying for all of the expenses.
When they weigh the fruit,
the fruit is not a problem for you anymore, because the din of all of these things of la'ochla v'lo l'schora, that's only when you're buying and paying for the fruit. You can weigh the fruit if you're not paying for the fruit. You're not paying for the fruit. That's the key here. You're paying for the expenses around the fruit, and that this is a tosefta, that the tosefta says, do this, people. The tosefta is encouraging us to do that. What did you want to ask? Oh, we talked about that last time. Again, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I know that many people have heard that you have to have a special Shemitah garbage can. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, those of you who heard it last time, excuse me for repeating it. When it comes to Trumot and Maisrot, the Torah uses the words Mishmeret Trumati, Shmirah. And what can you do when you take off, those of you who will be coming to the lecture, I'll show you how to take Truma to Maestro next time. What can you do? What do you do with the Truma that you take off? You wrap it up, and what do? You throw it away. But if you can't throw it directly into the garbage can, you wrap it up. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, this is not any more sanctity, that doesn't have more sanctity than the Truma that you threw away. Therefore, you must take the peelings or whatever is left of Kedusha Treat, put it into newspaper, put it into a plastic bag, not directly in the garbage can, and you don't have to have a Shemitah garbage can. I thought I mentioned it last time, didn't I? I think I mentioned it because I was looking people, you know what the Gemara says in Beitzah? Koach dehetera adif, says Tosfot, Perush. Lahachmir yachol kol echad, aval lehakel tzrichim ladat. That's what Tosfot have. Anybody can become stringent, but when it comes to do with the Jewish people, you have to know. Okay, people, I'll tell you what. I'm ready to sit here as long as. Okay. Okay. Any questions? Go ahead.
I have fruit trees, so how do I deal with the fruit of my fruit
tree? You take them off and you eat them as you always do. Take them off a little bit different. We were the last shiur. In the last shiur, we said that there are two things. One that says you really shouldn't harvest anything. And then the next pasuk says, "V'haita Shabbat ha'aretz lachem la'achla." Well, if I can't take it off the tree, no, how can I eat it? And as a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, you have to do it with a kind of machinery. If you use a special instrument, then do it with a knife. You just have to show that you realize that you're taking it off. By the way, if you have fruit trees in your yard, anybody who wants has a right to come into your yard as of when they're from and take all of the fruit that they need for their family. Are you aware of this?
Yeah. Do I have to put a sign up?
You don't have to put a sign. If you leave the gate open, it's all right too. If you don't lock the gate. If you lock the gate, then the poskim say you have to put up a sign that all the fruit and vegetables, fruit on these trees are available for all Jews. And you write there, poor Jews and rich Jews. That's the halacha says. There's no difference. We don't look at a Jew. His income is a big income. His is a small income.
But they're only available according to the calendar when they're shmita.
Correct. Well, all of that, you know what? I feel that that's so theoretical until you have the calendar in front of you and you'll see the dates, then you'll be able to do that. Okay.
Rabbi, can you speak a little about eating out of the house like at Simcha's wedding?
I think I told you a story last time. An interesting thing.
You know the story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach when he was invited to weddings? He has a certain standard in his house, whatever it was. When he was invited to a wedding and he intended to stay, felt close to the people, and he ate the meal, any hechsher in the world, any hechsher, he ate from. He said, I can have my standard at home. It's got to be kosher. And it's got to be a recognized kashrut, not some kashrut of some rabbi who is just out to make money. But if it's a recognized kashrut, he ate everywhere. Now, in those years, what do you mean Rabbanut? I don't know I don't know why, if anybody tells me, knowing the way, for example, some of the things that I have seen, how good it is, the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim, I can't see where the Eda Haredit in any manner and fashion has a better hechsher than the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim. They call themselves Badatz Rabbanut Yerushalayim, and the other calls itself Badatz Eda Haredi. Now, I'm not saying that about all places. But there are excellent, excellent hashgachot in this country of the Rabbanut. That word Rabbanut has become a word, that's used to say, that's a second-class hechsher. That's not so. Of course, there are second and third-class hechsherim. I remember one Rav, he was giving a hechsher on chocolate, the cocoa, and I wanted to know if they had any kitniot in it. And I called this Rav, and his name was on it, Kosher LePesach, and he says to me, call me back tomorrow, I'll find out if there are kitniot in there. I'm not going to say the word, they don't make it in that town anymore. But, I mean, so that's also, that's nothing to do with it, that we find all over. But let's not, that word Rabbanut doesn't mean that it's not people who are Yirei Shemayim who are giving the Hechsher. Not in every place. I can't go through the whole geography of Eretz Yisrael, but I would tell you that if you get something from the Rabbanut of Rehovot, or you get something from the Rabbanut in Haifa, or you can be sure that they have really good... For example, if you're going to ask me if you're going to go to Netanya, and you're going to go into these, buy fruits and vegetables, to the best of my ability, the hashgacha and fruits and vegetables in terms of hafresha tumot u'maisrot in Netanya I know I shouldn't be saying this because I could be sued, but it's a little bit weak. It's a little bit, which is terrible because we want people to be able to go in, and if it says that, and something which is more difficult, and I'll give you an example. You know that tumot u'maisrot today is the Rabbonon. Orla is the Oraita. Now, in Orla, there is the Rabbanut of Rishon LeZion. I look, when they say Orla, and the supermarkets of Meda has the Hashgacha of the Rabbanut of Rishon LeZion, at least the ones in the Canyon in Yerushalayim. And why do I want it? Because they have got an expert who is checking. Remember, we're talking here of Orla. Today, there's a tremendous amount of fruit that can be bought in the second year, and it's edible, and then the third year, and it's edible. And if you don't have proper maps and proper people who are aware of this, you will be eating something which is, let's put it this way, if you ate chicken and milk, that's an Isser Derabbanan. If you ate Arla, it's an Isser Deoraita. So, therefore, if you ask me who to ask, I would say not the Eda Haredit, but go to that rabbinate from Rishon LeZion, and if you can find that Hashgacha on Arla, that's great. So in other words, there's no rhyme and reason here to say that the Rabbanut Hechsher is on a lower level. And I urge all my friends, go buy the, really I have no stocks, what do you call it, stocks in Mega. But I know that their Hechsher on Orla is so good that that's what I'm looking for. I don't know what it happens in Kiryat Sefer, I can't tell you. But yeah.
Is there any anticipated shift in the costs in these stores due to the fact that we're taking the value of the fruit out of the mix?
far? Is it going to be higher, lower, in other words?
I have a feeling that if you went into another supermarket, it might be lower than the products here. I just have that feeling that they're going to have to take, they say it's not exuberant, they're not going to do that, but because of all that's involved in doing this, and the people they have to pay to do this, there may be, not a lot, but it may be a little bit more money. I'm not sure. We'll see. You know what? When I come to visit my daughter here in Hashmonaim, let's say around Hanukkah time, then you'll tell me if I was all wrong or not. Okay, listen, people, I really feel, you know how long I've kept you here? An hour and a half. Okay, the next shiur will be on Shumot and Maestro, and?
Date?
What?
You have a date?